Have you ever lost a bookmark? That happened to me just now. My bookmark is a fake $20 bill. And I use it every Sunday as to hold my place in Scripture where we're going to go. And you may say, well, why isn't it a real $20 bill? It's because I know you'd steal it. No, I'm kidding. This is to remind me that I'm just a fake $20 bill if I don't have the authority of the Holy Spirit backing me up. So I don't think I've ever shared that with you before, but that's why my bookmark when I preach is a fake $20 bill, because if I gave you a fake $20 bill and it had no authority, you couldn't use it anywhere. And if I come to you this morning with words of persuasive human reasoning, and you take that out and try to spend it somewhere, it'll do you no good. What you need this morning, what we need this morning, is a revelation of the Spirit's power, a declaration in our hearts and in our minds of who is truth and that everything else is a lie. This morning is going to be a little different. You're seated at tables, and I'm looking around, and there's a couple of tables that are half full. And so in a few seconds, I'm going to invite you to fill your table. And that may mean that you have to leave your table. And I'm sorry about that, but we want to have a full table because this morning's sermon is going to be supplemented with some guest preachers this morning, and it's you. All right? So I am going to set up some conversation, and then I am going to give you some guiding questions to just sit at your table and discuss for a few minutes here and there throughout the topic this morning. One of our values at Eagle Life Church is that we're better together. And I want you to have a revelation this morning. And that will come through discovery as you get into God's Word yourself. Okay, so this is how this is going to work. We are in the midst of a March Missions Madness here at Eagle Life Church. And every March we celebrate missions and we pray for our missionaries. And this year our theme is For Freedom. It comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. If you have a bulletin, grab it. It's right on the front of it. If you don't have a bulletin, then you can look up at the screen. And let's all read this together. If you have it memorized, awesome. This is our third Sunday, and hopefully by the end of the month you'll have it memorized. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you freedom this morning to talk and discuss at your tables, to look at God's Word together. But this isn't an opportunity for you to use your freedom in the flesh. And so I'm going to ask you, please, to do three things. All right, so can you put that next slide up there, Lori? And it's abbreviated, please. Oh, one more, I think. There we go. PLS. These are our guiding principles for our table talk this morning. The first one is, please maintain privacy. So if somebody at your table shares something that is self-revealing, I'm going to ask you to keep that at your table. It's kind of like Las Vegas. What happens at your table stays at your table, okay? So that's the first P of please. The L is please listen. Please listen to one another. Don't sit there reading ahead six chapters while someone else is talking and then go, well, I just read ahead six chapters and let me tell you, and not listen. Because the Holy Spirit may want to do something in your table partner's heart this morning that He wants you to be a part of, and you got to be listening for that. And then the third one, PLS, please feel free to share. Feel free to share. This is a safe place. Now, what do we do when we ask, what do we mean, I should say, when we ask our kids to share? What do we mean? Give up something that is they're entitled to themselves. And so, we all know what happens when you get in a conversation with several people. There's always the hoggers, right? Who don't share the conversation. They're doing plenty of sharing, but they're not sharing the conversation. And they just talk the whole time, and everybody else has to listen. And so, don't be a hogger. Be a sharer. And so if someone's hogging the conversation, somebody else may notice and go, that's a really good thought, so-and-so. What do you think? And help shift the conversation so that everybody has a chance to share, okay? All right, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You all should have a bulletin, I hope, at your table. And so here's what we're going to do, this first thing. And so some of you need to stand up and get some tables together. I see a few tables. That one's got three empty seats. You guys are full. You've got a full table. But there's three here. Maybe you three could join these tables so that they fill up. You know, move around, try to fill up a couple of tables. So somewhere... Oh. Look around, see if there's somebody who's got an empty or who doesn't have somebody at their table. Invite them to yours. All right, before you introduce yourselves, let me give you your instructions. Can you hear me? Let me give you some instructions on how to introduce yourselves. Here's what we're going to do. On a piece of paper somewhere, you could grab an old bulletin that's shoved in your Bible, or if you have to, you could write on the tablecloth if you don't have a piece of paper. But here's what you're going to do. And I forgot to put pens on the table. I need an usher to help me. Oh, there's some in the back of your chair. Naomi, they're in that table right there outside the door. On the bottom, in the bottom drawer. Oh, I forgot to put pens out. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. This activity is called Two Truths and a Lie. So you are going to write down on a piece of paper three things about you. One of them is not true. The other two are true. And then your table partners are going to have to try to guess which one of them was not true. Okay, and that's how you're going to introduce yourself to your table. You understand? Three things. Two true, one untrue. And then go around your table. Use your bulletin, use the tablecloth, use Mikey's t-shirt. And you're going to read them. You're going to say, these are my things. So you're really only writing down enough for you to remember the three things. Okay? You have about 3 minutes. Go ahead and start. Have you finished? All right. I'm going to have to call it quits so that we can keep going. I don't want to keep you here too late into the afternoon. I thought I'd play, and since I didn't have a table, you get to be my group. So my number one is I was struck in the face for saying the name of Jesus. That's number one. My number two is I spent 2 days in a Florida jail. And number three, I was peed on by a Jamaican lifeguard after swimming in the Gulf of Mexico.
I really hope all of those are true.
What do you think? Number one, I was struck in the nose for saying the name Jesus. That's true. That happened in junior high when I was on a school bus. He said, say Jesus again and I'll hit you. And I said, Jesus, and he punched me. Number two, I spent 2 days in a Florida jail. Never happened. But I was almost peed on by a lifeguard in Jamaica because I got stung by a jellyfish in the Gulf of Mexico. Thank goodness, just before he let go, another lifeguard ran up with a bottle of vinegar and relieved my pain. But how many of you did pretty good just finding truth in the crowd of lies that were around your table? Somebody shared three lies and that really threw everything off. Well, we're going to look at John chapter 18 this morning. And so if you have your Bible, open it up. If you don't, there's some on the black tablecloth in the back if you want to pick up a Bible. We're going to be on page 774 in the borrowed Bible. If you have your own, you'll have to find it yourself. It's about 3/4 of the way through the Bible, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. I'm going to read verse 11, which is where we finished off last week, just to kind of put us in context. Jesus with his disciples on the last night before he'd be crucified, and he spent some time having a meal with them, teaching them, praying with them. They were in the garden, and the soldiers and the chief priests and the officials came to arrest Jesus. And while they were there in the garden, one of Jesus' followers drew a sword and cut off one of the servant's ears that was in the crowd. And this is what Jesus said to him, "Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink of the cup that the Father has given me?" And this morning, as we look at all of these following verses, we're really going to be looking at two different things. The sword of lies and the cup of truth. And so as we look at this, I want you to be thinking about the lies and the truth. Peter's sword was a sword of lies because he wanted Jesus' kingdom to be an earthly kingdom. But the cup that God was asking Jesus to drink wasn't the World Cup. It wasn't the Stanley Cup. It wasn't an Olympic trophy full of oil that the victor could take home and sell to make money. It was a cup of suffering. It was the cup of a kingdom that would only see victory, would only see triumph through sacrifice. And so as Jesus' trial unfolds in these following verses, we're going to see how truth and lies interact to make this crucifixion of the Christ possible. Let's keep reading, verse 12. "So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and they bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people." Now you need to have a little background here, otherwise it's going to get really confusing in about 5 minutes. Annas was high priest before his son-in-law, Caiaphas, was high priest. Normally, a high priest appointment was a lifetime, like the Supreme Court. But in this case, because Rome was ruling Israel, the Romans didn't want there to be a lifetime Jewish authority in power. And so the Romans would remove high priests from power and appoint someone else. And very often it was a relative. So power sort of stayed in the family to keep there from being a revolt, but they took away lifetime appointments so that one man couldn't have all power. And what happens when a Supreme Court justice, even though it's a lifetime appointment, retires? What do we still call them in title? Like if they were standing here this morning and I was introducing a retired Supreme Court justice, how would I introduce them to you? As Honorable so-and-so or Supreme Court Justice so-and-so. If President Bush, former President Bush, were here this morning, how would we introduce him? As President Bush, even though he wasn't still serving in office. And so as you read these next few verses, you need to remember that there's more than one high priest who's alive. Because they're going to say that Jesus hasn't gone to see the high priest yet, but he's already talking to the high priest, and you're going to be like, how can he be talking to the high priest when he hasn't even gone to his house yet? It's because Annas is also high priest. He carries that title with him for his life, even though he isn't still serving in office. Chaplain Dan over here is Chaplain Dan, even though he's a retired Air Force chaplain. He still carries that title. So I think we can understand it. But if you don't know that, reading it, you're like, I am confused. So hopefully that will help you. All right. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We are going to get, you at your table are going to declare someone the reader, and they are going to read verses 15 through 18, and you're going to ask yourselves a couple of questions. Can we put those next questions up there? This is what you're going to talk about. Who followed Jesus, and discuss who another disciple might be. And then your second question is discuss the truthfulness of each person in the story's statement. Okay, so each person's going to make a statement and you're going to talk about, is that true? Is that a lie? Okay, and then the third question is how and why has Peter's confidence that he had in John chapter 13, and you may have to go read that, so I put that reference up there. Why has Peter's confidence gone away? And how has it come to that place? Okay, so those are your three questions. We're going to leave them up there. And what you're trying to uncover is the first revelation of truth. That people can know the truth, but still deny the truth. And that's the first point on the back of your bulletin if you want to fill that in, okay? So discuss these three things at your table, and we're going to play some music while you do it. Go ahead. All right, I'm going to ask you to wrap up your conversation, and we'll come back to center. You can fade the music out. So the first question, just kind of yell out your reports back up here. Who do you think the other disciple was who followed Jesus? John? Any others? Guesses? Maybe Judas? Any other thoughts? Probably wasn't Matthew, because he doesn't even talk about this happening. Probably wasn't Peter, because Mark wrote down Peter's account and doesn't talk about it. I kind of think that it was probably John, since there's many other things that John says right here that are like kind of eyewitness things, like he was there when this happened or he wouldn't have been able to explain it. If it had been Judas, which is a good guess because Judas knew them, and we know that in another gospel, we're going to find out the next morning, he goes and sees the high priests again and gives the money back and then hangs himself. So it could very well be, but that story might have died with Judas and we wouldn't have known that happened if it was him, but we don't really know who the other disciple is. Isn't that cool? Yeah, but he had come back at the garden and was there when Jesus was arrested. And who else would have known the high priest? So there's an argument to be made for both, but there's some things that we just can't know for sure. You know? And that's okay. It's okay for us not to know that about this person. All right, now, how about the truthfulness of each person's statement? Was the servant girl truthful in her question? Was it? Yeah. How about Peter's answer? No. Uh-oh. People who know the truth can still deny the truth. People who know the truth can still deny the truth. And then what happened to Peter's confidence? Maybe you didn't read John 13:37. Peter is answering Jesus when Jesus says that Peter cannot follow him where he's going. Peter says, "I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus, even to death." And Jesus said, "You can't drink the cup I'm about to drink." And so even if we know the truth, look at yourself in the mirror. Turn on your camera and put it in selfie mode. You, me, can deny the truth even if I know the truth. Knowing isn't always believing and acting. We get put into a life or death situation and we may deny the truth, even though we know the truth. When faced with the conviction of the reality of our own weaknesses and sin, even though we know the truth about who we are, we can deny it. Can I give you a lesson that I've learned in these minutes of my life when faced with those kinds of trouble? I have to run to Jesus instead of away from Him. And if there's anything admirable that I see in Peter's life, and I identify with Peter a lot, I heard somebody over here say, Peter probably had a sign that said, "Insert foot here," by his mouth, because he just did that a lot, and I can identify with that. Peter followed Him. He did. He was there. He went to see what was going on. In another gospel, we read that all the other disciples abandoned Him. They ran back to their homes. But Peter followed. He was there. He went towards Jesus, even though he was still denying the truth on that journey towards Him. But you gotta stay close to Jesus. So the first revelation is that people who know the truth can still deny the truth. Now you're going to uncover the second one before I tell you what it is, and you're going to answer three more questions from John 18:19 through 24. So let's put the next one up there. So if you need the passage again, it's up at the top every time. Here's the three questions. Jesus is going to make a statement, and I want you to ask and discuss at your table how that statement affirms the truth about his teaching. Okay, how does what Jesus say help affirm the truthfulness of what he's taught before? And then number two, how did Jesus protect his disciples during this interrogation? Because right now, Peter is rejecting Christ, but Jesus kind of does something in this that protects his disciples, and see if you can pick up on it. And then the third thing is, in what ways did the former high priest, that's Annas, and the other authorities violate truth? Okay? So read 19 through 24 as a table. Someone read it out loud and then talk about those three things. Go. So did you discover, did you make revelation of the second truth in this passage? The first one was that people can deny the truth even when they know the truth. The second one is that people can ignore the truth even when it's staring them in the face. Annas was staring truth in the face and was able to ignore what was right in front of him. Jesus said to Annas, I don't have any teaching that is different than what you've heard me teaching. I'm a man of integrity. What I do in secret is the same thing I do in public. So you don't have to ask me about my teachings and about my disciples, because they've heard what you've heard, Annas. And the truth about who I am has been staring you in the face, but you've just been ignoring it. Now, Jesus doesn't say it like that, but that's basically what's going on in that conversation, okay? And then the second thing is, by saying this, Jesus is protecting his disciples. Because Annas, Pilate, Herod, who we're going to meet in a few minutes, they may have been worried that Jesus' disciples were off in the hills somewhere getting the revolution prepared and picking up their arms and getting the weapons out of the caves to come and attack the city on this evening. And so Annas was going, where are your disciples? I see two of them here, but where are the rest? You know, what's going on? And he's like, look, there's no secret teaching to what I've taught. Everything I've said in public, and this is what it is. It is what it is. And you don't have to change the definition of what is. Because what you do in public, you do in private. And that's Jesus. He is the truth. And truth was staring him in the face, and he still ignored it. And then the third thing is, and you may not have picked up on it unless you're just really tuned into the mystery novels and the way that stories unfold, but a hint was the fact that this was the former high priest that this trial was happening in front of, making it an illegal trial. This was not a sanctioned thing. This was a fake $20 bill trial. Annas didn't have the authority to do this anymore. Secondly, it was happening in the evening, at nighttime, overnight, while people were sleeping, which was also illegal according to Jewish law. It had to happen in the daytime, and Jesus needed to be able to face his accusers in public. But they were operating in secret. The other thing is, it's illegal to strike someone without a conviction. And so this officer who struck Jesus was violating the law and truth. And also at this point in John's story, there have been no eyewitnesses to bear testimony against Jesus. And so Jesus is facing trial without knowing who his accusers are. And that's why they're interrogating Jesus and saying, where are your disciples? We want to talk to them. Okay, and so they're violating truth in a lot of different ways at this point. But Jesus remains true all the way through it. All right, the first lesson we learned today, and hopefully is ringing true in your heart, is that we can know the truth but still deny the truth. The second one is that even when truth is staring us in the face, we can ignore it. The third one is that truth will take what is done in secret and bring it to light. Truth will take what is done in secret and bring it to light. This will be our last conversation at the table, so love on each other with your words and encouragement. We're going to read John chapter 18, 25, and 27 at your tables, and these are the questions you're going to discuss. Number one, where are the revelations that we already talked about, denying the truth and ignoring the truth, where do we see them continued in this story, okay? So who's denying truth and who's ignoring truth, even though it's staring them in the face, okay? Just where do you see that again, repeated? And then secondly, I want you to read another passage in Mark 14, 66 through 71, and then a third one in Luke 22, 60 through 66. It's the same story, but one of them is from Matthew's perspective, who is writing to the... I didn't put Matthew's in there. Thank you. Those eyeballs that looked at me like, no, there's no Matthew. One of them is Mark, who is Peter's perspective. This was Peter. Mark was Peter's traveling companion, and after Peter was crucified upside down, Mark wrote down what Peter told him. And that's the book of Mark. And so when you read Mark, it's Peter's story. And then Luke was a doctor and a researcher who was hired by probably a man named Theophilus, because he addresses him at the opening of his gospel, to research and write a documentary on the life of Jesus. And so if he had a camera, he probably would have hired a film crew and done it that way. But in that time, it was a written documentary. And so the book of Luke is from a researcher's perspective on what happened that night. This same story. Okay? So read those two and then discuss what is the cursing and the swearing about? What was going on with the cursing and swearing? See if you can figure that out. And then the last question is, how does the truth become known because of this situation? How is truth, the stuff done in secret, how is it brought to light in this passage, okay? So read that and discuss it at your table and just love on each other, because this is your last discussion before we have lunch. Cock-a-doodle-doo! All right, I'm going to ask you to bring it to a close. Cock-a-doodle-doo! And then the rooster crowed the third time. Cock-a-doodle-doo! All right, I don't see anybody running out, cursing and swearing. That's good. And nobody's weeping. That's very nice. Do you have good discussion at your table? Lots of smiling going on and good eye contact. I don't think I've ever seen more Bibles and electronic devices open on a Sunday morning than today. That was awesome. You need to be like that every Sunday. Open them up. And maybe you're like, well, you could use the tables every Sunday. This is nice. How many of you like the tables? Yeah. All right. Cool. Very cool. We usually leave four set up across the back, and they're often full because people do like putting their drink and their Bible. It's cool. There's a lot here that I want to talk about, but I'm going to dig deeper a little bit of this. So Pastor Bob, blessings on you. Wednesday night, dig deeper. You can dive into some of this a little bit more. Like, one of the things you can talk about is what was so important about the Jewish-Gentile relationship that was going on in this next part. And there are some conversations about Pilate washing his hands and what significance that had to this story that I just don't have time to get into this morning. But we've uncovered three revelations about the truth. And there's a final revelation that's going to tie this all together. The first one was that people can know the truth but deny the truth. The second is that people can ignore the truth even when truth is staring them in the face. And the third one was that truth will take what is done in secret and bring it to light. How many of us have had a cock-a-doodle-doo moment? Where we've been denying, we've been ignoring, we've been acting in secret, we've been doing our thing, and then a rooster crows, or someone looks us in the eye. The morning sun breaks over the horizon and we go, whoa, I'm in this a lot deeper than I thought. And we curse and go, man, I'm cursed. What's wrong with me? I'm such a bleep. Right? And we curse and we swear against ourselves because we know what and who we are, and the truth is known. and we walk out weeping. But listen, there's a fourth truth. The truth will be known by those who listen to Jesus' voice. The truth will be known by those who listen to Jesus' voice. I don't have time to read the whole thing because lunch is literally being served right now. But Jesus gets led to Pilate's house. Pilate talks to the Jews, and they now in the morning are bringing witness against Jesus. They're testifying about who Jesus is and what has happened. They won't go inside Pilate's house because if they do, it will cause them to go into a period of defilement, which would prevent them from eating Passover the next day. And so they don't want to go in Pilate's house because that's the home of a Gentile, and God forbid that they become unclean. No interest at all in the fact that they're lying, that they just performed an illegal trial overnight, and that they're about to murder someone. Some of us have experienced that religious spirit, haven't we? That doesn't want to become unclean by not wearing a tie to church on Sunday, but has no concern about the lies they just told Saturday night or the way that they treat their wife or husband at home. And they have this pious self-righteousness that's completely a facade. And so Pilate, understanding these men are not going to come into my house, retreats inside and brings Jesus with him. The Passover lamb that the religious people thought they would defile themselves from being able to eat if they went inside, the lamb himself went inside. If they wanted to be where the Passover lamb was, they should have been inside, but they weren't. Okay, so Pilate brings Jesus in and begins to interrogate him and saying, "So are you a king or not?" And Jesus says, in verse 34, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Well, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Verse 37, then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." And what is that? To bear witness to the truth. "And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then Pilate asks the question that is the title to this message: what is truth? Truth can only be learned by listening to the voice of Jesus. That's how we discover the truth. He will expose the truth of our own sin. He will expose the truth of the lies of the people who are coming against us. He will expose the truth when we have denied and ignored it, even though it was staring us in the face. So I invite you, on the back of your bulletin at the bottom every week, I put some reading passages from the Bible that are further places to study the topic that we do each Sunday. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you did, but I'm telling you again. At the bottom it says, this week's Bible reading, John 18 and 19. That's what we're looking at now, so get it in context. Easter's coming. The crucifixion is next week. Resurrection is in 2 weeks. Matthew 27 is this story. Mark 14 and 15. Luke 22 and 23. Read those. And then we just put a proverb in there every week, or a couple of them, so that you can read that throughout the week. But look at those this week. Investigate the truth and listen to the voice of Jesus as he shares with you the truth about yourself. I've asked Pastor John to come and close us out in prayer. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we do that. You've been sitting at the table for a while. If you can stand, why don't you push your chair back and stand up with us? And Pastor John is just going to pray a prayer over all of us this morning, however God leads him. I haven't really given him any instructions. And then I'm also going to ask you, Pastor John, to pray for the food. Can you do that? And can I ask you to do something for me? There's two empty tables at the front. And that's going to make me really nervous when we have the meeting in a few minutes. And so I'm going to ask some of you in the back, when you get up now and you have a few minutes to stretch and you get in line and get your food, would you mind moving up to the front for the lunch? So that when our district assistant superintendent shows up in a few minutes, he's not talking to empty chairs up here at the front. Do you mind doing that? Say yes, Pastor, we'll do that. Okay, thank you. Awesome, I appreciate it. So, Pastor John, would you lead us in a closing prayer?